It's time now for the Christian's Hour broadcast. Welcome to the Christian's Hour, where our goal each broadcast is to share the good news that God loves all people enough that He gave His Son to save all of us from sin and darkness. God's Son Jesus is the light of the world. In the New Testament book of John, it records, when Jesus spoke to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." One of the gifts God has given us is the gift of light. Poet Walt Whitman said, "Every moment of light and dark is a miracle." Our speaker this month is Ben Kacharis from the Mountain Christian Church in Maryland. Now here's Ben.
Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy some time, I hope, with the opportunity to give thanks to God. I hope that you did. And we have kind of a tradition at our place where I cook the bird. Part of the tradition is that every year I find a new way to screw it up. And this year I kept the tradition. So, you know, you've heard me talk about some of my episodes in the past. We have burnt little birds to a crisp little football size. We have, one year I didn't estimate properly and had to hack it into bits before I put it in because it wouldn't fit in. And so this year we changed the kind of oil that we used, and I had it all mapped out, calculated down to the minute, so everything could come out at the same time, you know, it's all that. And but I did not understand that this oil would take, instead of the 30 minutes I had allotted to heat up, it took 2.5 hours. So yeah, so we got a little bit, slightly behind schedule there a little bit. And then there's something else with the oil, because we got a fresh bird instead of frozen this year. And so I don't know what it was about it, but the thing was in there forever too. And so by the time, like when I pulled it up to look at it, it was just like completely falling apart. Like somebody was like, "Hey, it's missing a leg." And the next time it was like missing another leg. We're like fishing around on the bottom. And then pretty soon the whole thing just kind of, it became like a leprosy bird. It's like, it just started, the whole thing just kind of went, bleh. And so I literally was trying to get it and just the whole thing fell off the hook. I had nothing on, it was like a empty. So I'm like getting it out of the 300 degree oil and it just kind of threw it on a plate and threw it in front of people and said, "Let's be thankful." And the turkey tasted great. So all things are well. The Kacharis family Thanksgiving this year. And that's what I got to tell you. So I got to thinking about that whole fiasco and how in certain ways it's a little bit of a microcosm of life. You know, there's always things that we have that we know we can be thankful for. And yet life can be hard. Things don't always go as planned. Things fall apart. And then I got to thinking about how here we are with this daylight saving thing. Do you notice you go outside at 4:45 and you look up and it's dark? Man, I hate that. And I got to thinking about that and the turkey. And maybe you're like me and you just have this sensation that maybe just the whole world itself is getting dark. Do you feel that way sometimes? In fact, take a look at this statistic. Mass shooting is when there's 4 or more victims. Talk about dark. Soldiers killed in conflict all the time. Talk about dark. What about the weather? Hurricanes and refugees. This is the year of the refugees. So many of them under cover of darkness, literally running for their lives to get away from oppression or war or fear, hoping that when the sun comes up in this new place where they are, and they don't even know where they are, they'll find a new beginning. And every morning we can get up and check the news and see who will be added to the growing cadre of those who are accused of sexual misconduct. Talk about dark. And then there's the concerns for healthcare and climate change and economy. And in politics, everyone's either depressed or ticked off or both. And on top of that is all the personal stuff, you know, just life. The darkness in our own hearts, little hidden sin and secret and shame and darkness that's there, and just the darkness of worry and stress and family and friends and finances and all that goes with that. And In some ways, it feels like the world's the place that Job described when he said in chapter 10, it's a land of utter darkness and deepest night, a place of shadows and disorder where even the light is like darkness. Even things that are supposed to be light seem dark sometimes. He was actually describing what he thought hell would be like, and I think sometimes that's what the world can feel like. It's a dark world, a lot of darkness, and darkness in our own hearts. When I was 4 years old, we lived in Minneapolis, and it was awesome because I had my own room. That was the good news. The bad news was it was a little tiny, tiny room. It was actually a sewing room with a slanted ceiling and just enough room for a cot, but I didn't care. But the real bad news was that it was at the end of a long, dark hallway. And I hated it. I was the youngest. I hated it when it was like bedtime and someone would say, Benny, you got to go to bed. I hated going up those stairs by myself and down that deep, dark hallway. The light was on the wall up above where I could reach it. It was up on the wall. So I would always say, hey, well, can someone come and turn on my light? And I liked that. Then my sister, my brother, my dad, mom, whatever, would take my hand. We'd go up the stairs and down that hallway and everything changed. I was okay, even in the dark, because I knew the light was coming. They get in there and they flip on that light and all was well. That's kind of where we find ourselves right now. See, we're at this thing called Advent, right? Advent means coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. What's coming? Light is coming. Light is coming. And this is what Isaiah was talking about 700 years before the time of Jesus, right? Chapter 9, Isaiah said, the people who walked in darkness, that's us, have seen a great light. Talking as if it's already happened. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, if that's not us, I don't know who it is. On them, a light has shined. God has taken our hand. He's walking us down this long hallway. He's going to flip on the light, and when he does, everything changes. We're going to talk about light. Light. We got to talk about the dark in order to even understand why light matters and what's the difference Jesus can make in our lives. So that's why we're doing it. And so it won't be surprising to you to think about this, that the concept of light saturates the Bible from beginning to end. If you open up your Bible, the very first page of Genesis 1, what does it say? It says, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth, and he said, let there be light. And there it is right away. And then at the very end of Scripture, the last book is Revelation, and it pictures God obliterating all traces of darkness. Revelation 22 says, there will be no more night. When God is finished with everything, it'll be back to the beautiful, radiant light that he created in the beginning. And he says, God himself will be our light. And in between these two beacons of light, of the Bible, in between, light is everywhere. It's mentioned some 200 times. I don't have time to go through all 200 references. We'll try to get like 198 of them or so. But the idea of light is powerful, and it's more than, you get the idea that darkness and separation from God kind of go together, and that light and life go together, not just in a photosynthesis sort of way, biologically, but that in a deeper sense, light and life and God are all together. Take a look at some of these scriptures. Isaiah 60 says that the Lord is our everlasting light. He's light that you can't ever kind of put out. He's always been there, always will be. James 1 says God is the Father of lights. And it describes how all good gifts come from the Father of lights. And 1 John 6 says that God will never die. He's immortal and he lives in unapproachable light. There's a holiness kind of factor to the light and brightness of brilliance of God. Psalm 104 says that the Lord wraps himself in light, like a garment of light. He is light. Psalm 119 says that God's word is like a lamp to our feet and a light for our path to help us find our way through a dark world. And Psalm 27 says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Whatever hallway I'm walking through, I know who's holding my hand and who's going to flip on the light at the end of the hall. And all of this should just leave us wanting to pray that prayer like you find in Psalm 4:6. Does it ever make you just want to say, in a world like ours that's dark, in a heart like mine that's dark sometimes, does it ever make you want to just say, Lord, send more light, we need more light. Let the light of your face shine on us. Our family needs light. Your home needs light. Your neighborhood needs light. Our community needs light. Our world needs light. You and I, we need light and we long for light. Advent is God's walk down the hall with the hope and promise that light is about to shine on the people who walked in darkness. It's good news, friends. And so that's why when you look at the Christmas story, man, have you noticed how light is everywhere in the Christmas story? It's like all over the place. Every time an angel pops up, there's light, because it's a message from God, a shaft of light breaking in. The ultimate Christmas story is God is sending a shaft of light to break through the canopy of darkness that covers our world to bring light into this old dark place. Every Christmas pageant has to have a little boy in a bathrobe with a stick. Who is he? He's acting like a, come on, you know the Christmas story? Shepherd, right? And the Bible says that the shepherds were watching their flocks and they were out in their fields when? At night, in the dark, because they represent all of us walking in darkness. And how does that story go down? How does it all happen? Do you remember Luke 2 says, an angel of the Lord showed up, and the glory of God, the brilliant presence of God himself was so bright, it scared them to death, and they were terrified, and they thought it was bad news. Sometimes we think the presence of God is scary, and that's when the angel says, don't be afraid. What I bring to you is good news, great joy, and it's for everyone. Don't be afraid of the light. Welcome the light. A Savior is born to you this day, Jesus Christ the Lord. When God wanted to help those wise men find that little baby born, what did he do? He put a light in the sky that they followed. All the way through, you see light, light. Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. We want to welcome the coming of that light. And Advent is really about that, the coming of light into a dark world, into dark hearts like ours. And today what I want to do is invite us to think a little bit about when the light of God first came into the world. And to do that, you go into your Bible to the very first page, Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, flip it open or get on your phone or whatever app you use. We go to the very first page of the Bible. We find Genesis chapter 1. Take a look at this. Let's actually read this together, okay? Let's read it out loud together. A few verses, about three verses together out loud, okay? Here we go, everybody together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. Day one. All right. Let's go back for a moment to verse 2 and look at it again. I want you to pick up on something here. Here's what it says in verse 2. Now the earth was what? Formless and void. There was a nothingness before there was this created event. Formless and empty, a darkness. One translation gives that phrase, earth was a soup of nothingness. A bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. This word in the original language is Hebrew, and the word literally just means it's like a swirling mass of nothingness, a kind of confusion, a chaotic, topsy-turvy, swirling, disorienting, black darkness. The word in the Hebrew language is kind of interesting. It's tohu vavohu. Tohu, not tofu. Tohu vavohu. Why don't you try it? Let's say it together a couple times. Tohu vavohu. One more time. It even kind of sounds sort of dark and foreboding, doesn't it? That's what the word is. It's sort of chaotic. It means confusion, nothingness, like emptiness, like someone puts a blindfold on you, spins you around in a dark room, and you don't know where you are. It's walking down a hall when you're scared to death as a kid. Tohu vavohu. And that's all there is before God shows up. That's all there ever is before God enters the picture. And sometimes, isn't it true that tohu vavohu creeps its way back into our well-ordered, perfectly controlled, nicely created universes. Sometimes tohu vavohu shows up unwelcomed into our world with its dark, swirling, confusing stuff. My friend Gail had a routine doctor's check for something she thought was minor. And the doctor says, well, you know, a little something showed up on your test. We just want to take another look at things, nothing to be alarmed about, but could you come back first thing tomorrow morning? And even though he tried not to act alarmed, she could smell it seeping through the cracks in the floor, you know, just this foreboding rumbling beneath what had seemed to her to be an ordinary sunny day, and she had everything figured out in her life, all organized and plans for dinner and what was happening the next day, and all of that suddenly just was swallowed up in this sea of confusion and chaos in her mind as she got the news the next day that rocked her world. She felt like a speck in a sea floating, and all of that sunshine was long gone, and she had tohu vavohu. There are moments like that in life that leave us kind of disoriented and afraid, right? Where the veil that separates creation from chaos is lifted and it all goes south into a wild flood of darkness. Maybe you've been in a time of tohu vabohu because you moved. You know, you relocated and there was something disorienting and kind of puts you into a disequilibrium, you know, and you miss your friends, or it's a new situation, or someone that you loved died or left you. It kind of guts you and leaves you feeling in a weird sort of topsy-turvy, land-in-between sort of state. I know a man, a friend of mine, his wife died after a long, difficult illness. And he told me that when that happened to him, he had loved her so much and prayed so hard that when it happened, he told the God that he had trusted so long, I don't know if I can walk with you anymore. Tohu vavohu. Sometimes it's a divorce. Your kid's marriage busts up, or your parents separate, or someone tells you, I'm done. Tohu vavohu. A job change, friendship ends, finances go south, your house gets vandalized, you graduate and you don't know what in the world you're going to do, and everyone else seems to, and you just seem kind of lost. Your reputation gets ruined. It can happen with a phone call. You pick it up and you answer and they say the numbers are bad, you're done, and you put the phone back down in the cradle. You can barely find the cradle of the phone or to hit off, and everything is chaos. In so many ways, we find ourselves in a formless void. Maybe you're going through a period of disruption or pain or struggle or transition right now. If not, you will. When it's scary and chaotic and out of joint. And I just hope that what we can do for a couple minutes here together is just keep it real and talk really just very frankly about some of the pain and struggle of life and what to do with it in light of all this. And if you're like me, this is important because you have a tendency, maybe if you're like me, to kind of stuff things. I like to stuff things. Not proud of that, but I have a tendency. I want to avoid pain. I want to escape it. I don't want to talk about all the hard things sometimes. It's like sometimes we're like, you know, you're in a pool with a beach ball and you try to keep that beach ball down underneath the surface so it doesn't come up. You don't have to deal with it and just pretend everything's great and chaos, and there's no chaos. Just everything's great. It's all sunny and bright. And it's like when you're in a pool, you got that beach ball, you can kind of keep it under and ride it for a while, but it's so much work. And eventually it's going to squirt out, pop up to the surface into the light. Can we just do that? Let the beach balls just pop, 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 pop. Let everything up into the light before God for just a minute and see what kind of things might happen when we let everything into the light and presence of God. Would you do that? Let's keep it real. Go back to verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to see something important here. Here's what it says. Now it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And what? The Spirit of God was what? Hovering. Is that not beautiful? The Spirit of God was also there, hovering in the mess, over it all. Friends, listen, I don't know what kind of tohu vavohu you might have in your life right now. what kind of fear or darkness or confusion there might be. But listen, Advent, Christmas is about Jesus, our Emmanuel, means God is with us. God is with us. He's still hovering, even though it's messy and chaotic sometimes in whatever pain you have, whatever struggle you have, whatever sorrow you have, whatever unanswered prayers you have. Listen, somebody needs to hear this today. It might be you. You're going through some kind of hell, some kind of dark place, some kind of struggle. You're going through some awful period. It's a terrible loss. There's so much pain. It might be a dull ache or a sort of crisis. I don't know. But you just need to know there's good news of great joy. And part of that is that God is with you in the chaos. He's with you in the chaos. The Spirit of God is hovering. You're in chaos? Guess what? God's hovering. Now, I can't promise you that you'll always see it. I can't promise that you'll always be able to point and touch it. But you can know that he's faithful. But the Bible describes God like a shepherd. It means you're a sheep. And here's what the promise is. It says, you're going to go through a valley, little sheep. You might be in one right now. That valley for you might be depression or deep discouragement. It might be suicidal thoughts. You might have found yourself in a valley of just family dynamics that you just couldn't figure out why everything that used to be so good is so screwed up. You might go through a valley of loss or death, insecurity or shame, somebody that won't leave you alone, whatever it is. It could be what the mystics used to call a dark night of the soul, where it just seems God is absent, and however hard you try, you can't get through, and he doesn't seem to be paying any attention to you. When you go through the dark night, you just reach up for your shepherd. Psalm 23:4 says it this way. If I walk with a shepherd, I'll never go through the valley. It doesn't say that. It says that when I do go through the valley, God is in the mess. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know that God is always with you, even in the midst of chaos? I can't tell you the number of people I've met as a pastor who are like, oh, I'm mad at God. I don't believe in God anymore. Why? Oh, I went through chaos and God didn't, you know, show up for me. So God, oh, the Spirit of God was hovering. Here's what faith looks like, my friends. When you're going through hell or a valley, you can't see God, you can't feel God, you're groping, but you say, I'm not afraid. I know God is with me. I believe in the sun even when I can't see it, when it's not shining. I believe in God even when I can't see him, touch him. And I know there's a good shepherd who's with me in the valley. And in the times of tohu vavohu, I know the Spirit of God is hovering over your life and mine. So we're called to follow and trust and to find order in our chaotic world in this one who said in John 12, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. You can live in a dark world and have parts of your heart that you struggle with that are dark. You have the light of Christ. You trust Christ. You have the light of life. You have the light of life. So, my friends, live in the light. Walk in the light. Bask in the light. Spread the light. Enjoy the warmth of the light. We're going to talk about light in the next few weeks. As we close today, let me ask you a really important question. Where do you need the light of Jesus in your life right now? Where do you need the light to penetrate, to come, to flood, to heal, to expose? Some place of hurt or pain, some part of shame or sin. Where do you need the light? Here's another one for you. Where do you need a new beginning? Where's the new beginning that God is whispering by his Holy Spirit that hovered over the darkness? He's whispering, let's begin. Trust the one who says, I am the light of the world. Trust him. Let me pray for you. God of eternity, eternal light giver, God, thank you for coming among us as Jesus, this little baby who grew into this one who has shown us what it is to live and die and live again. come to us in our darkness, fill us with your light and love. Help us to live in a dark world as people of the light and to share that with someone who needs it the most. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. The one and only Son. We have seen his glory.
Each week, it's our privilege to bring you messages from God's Word, presented by effective communicators and students of the Bible. Today it was Ben Kacharis. Ben serves as lead minister of the Mountain Christian Church with several locations in the Bel Air, Maryland area. If you would like a copy of our program, give us a call at 800-553-6490. That's 800-553-6490. There's no charge for a copy, and we will be pleased to send you a copy free and postage paid. Music featured on today's broadcast is from the A Cappella Company. And for a complete listing of their music and how you may receive it in your home, available from their website at acapella.com. Our broadcasts are also available on the Internet at our website, thechristianshour.org, and at iTunes, Google Play, and oneplace.com. The Christian's Hour is part of the worldwide radio ministry of gospel broadcasting mission. And that involves shortwave radio, AM and FM radio, and the Internet. For more details on this ministry, please look us up on our website at thechristianshour.org, thechristianshour.org, or at gospelbroadcastingmission.org. Thank you for listening today, and please join us again next week for another Christian's Hour broadcast.
Love Jesus.